Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Welcome back to Cavs of Podcast. It's been
social distancing edition.
extreme social distancing. I feel like, you know, things are starting to open up in Ohio, and my favorite restaurant is opening Friday. So,
ooh, what's your favorite restaurant?
The Winking Lizard in Canton. The Canton Winking Lizard. So,
word
is my favorite, which is over right across the street from Walsh University. So, friends with a lot of the people that work there. So I'm glad to see they had a couple pop-up, events of you could get takeout where they were only serving one thing, but they've been closed for about 2 months and happy to see them. We're not ready to go out to eat yet. We're not going to be those people that are the first people at the bar, but we will get some takeout from there. So,
okay. I'm going to rate you a D+ on, let's keep this under an hour based on how long we're not talking about the Winking Lizard. Nate, 2 minutes ago, I got to keep this under an hour.
I know, right? I've got a reference architecture diagram due at 8:30 and I haven't even.
Fun.
Yeah, not really.
Well, we could talk about reference architecture diagrams if that'll help you.
How many reference architecture diagrams do you do a year, Tom?
I don't know, one or two.
Oh, okay. But you supervise a lot of people who do reference architecture diagrams.
That's true, yeah. I prefer to not do work. I prefer to comment on other people's work.
Who can do and those who can't manage.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So how are you doing? How's the fam? Are you hanging in there?
The fam is good. I'm holding in there. All my appliances are conspiring to die on me during COVID for some reason. But, you know, we'll see. Thanks to Amazon, I'm going to have a new pump for my washer. And I went ahead and bought a new belt as well. Figured, you know, get it all out.
So
all the maintenance.
Are you a man that repairs his own appliances?
I am now. Yes, I am.
Nice. And do you have a Cabrio?
No, I have. Okay. You thought I did because you recognize the beep codes. I have a Whirlpool Duet.
Okay, nice.
So, but yeah, that was 20 years ago when you're like, I got the same washer. I recognized the.
It was the dryer.
Yeah, the dryer. The dryer's doing fine, with the exception I have starlings trying to nest in the dryer vent. I've pulled out 3 nests in 3 weeks.
Wow.
And birds are trying to start a fire. Do you know how starlings even got into the U.S.?
I didn't know they weren't native.
They're not. They're native to Europe. And some bohemian hipster around the turn of the century decided that he wanted every bird that appears in Shakespeare to be in America so Americans could enjoy them. So he literally went over to Europe and brought back like hundreds of starlings.
What a jerk.
And now they do like billions of dollars in damage every year to structures and agriculture, and they spread disease and they kill off all kinds of native birds and they harass bluebirds and they eat anything, by the way, and they start a lot of fires, house fires. So screw that, dude.
Why do they start house fires? Because they chew wiring?
No, they will build net like exactly what happened to me. They will build nests in like dryer vents, which can then start fires.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yep. There's no way we're staying under an hour.
Well, at least I tried to do that quickly. But
that's
yeah,
true. It's true. Wow. So Starlings. Who knew?
Starlings.
Speaking of starlings, the NBA stars will maybe be back playing this summer. If you were a betting man, what are the odds you think that we'll get a season?
A new season, or will they pick up from the old, from this last season?
A resumed NBA season, obviously abbreviated in many respects.
If I was a betting man, I would put $100 on there won't be a season.
Really? Yeah. I'd go the other way. I think there's going to end up being too much money on the line for there to not be a season. So
I just think it'd be hard to do. I think they're just going to have to call it and try to start over again in the but I don't really know how you do that either. I mean, that kind of calls into question a whole lot of integrity of a lot of things.
Well,
I'm sure there's all kinds of contractual issues. There's probably players that have incentives for things, and
oh yeah, there's a ton of contractual issues. And one of the issues that is basically on the table right now is there is definitely going to be some labor strife and some cap stuff that happens, because the NBA has basically got on the table to eliminate the collective bargaining agreement by a force majeure event, you know, like a national emergency or something like that, that is built into the CBA so that they can basically say, hey, the economics of what's going on right now don't make any sense at all for us to continue this under its current format, so we are going to invalidate it and basically renegotiate a new one. And that means a whole new salary cap, all sorts of things. I think one of the Cavs bloggers the other day said, well, if the new collective bargaining agreement has an amnesty clause, who would you like the Cavs to use it on? And I don't think there'll be any amnesty clause, because my bet is that no one is going to want to pay someone not to play in this environment. But that's going on, and we'll see what happens with the NBA. But I guess the caveat to that is probably what you might be alluding to, is that if the stars decide they don't want to play, it's very hard for the NBA to have a season, because say LeBron just says, nope, I'm not playing. What do you do in that case? Like,
I don't know. I agree with you. The LeBron and a couple other people will have a lot of outsized influence on what happens.
I agree. Yeah, 100%.
They have a lot of outsized influence on everything that happens. Like, yeah. Anthony Davis should be in Los Angeles. Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, well, and it's, you know, Chris Paul's the Players Association president, I believe. LeBron James is the vice president. Now I got to look that up. But I mean, it's very interesting that what may very well happen is that, you know, you remember one of the big things when they talked about the salary cap was booming was the cap smoothing.
Yeah.
They wanted to do cap smoothing. And basically, the union leadership, LeBron James, Chris Paul, a couple other guys said, hey, no, we don't want to do that. And they also coincidentally happened to have a lot of upcoming free agent contracts that were going to be positively impacted by the, lack of cap smoothing. And they decided not to do that. And now that they are both locked into longer term contracts, there's a lot of talk that, hey, with the salary capping dropping so much, we may want to do cap smoothing. And so I find it a little bit ironic that, you know, they possibly don't want to, you know, they're doing what could possibly benefit them at the moment that decision comes around. So,
yeah.
So I don't know. That's just me spitballing and stammering as I am wont to do.
Do you really Do you, I mean, at this point, how much do you think fans would even tune in? Like, would it be crazy? Oh. It's like, oh my gosh, we have sports? Or would it be like,
I think
okay,
it would
whatever.
Totally be like that. I would. I mean, I we talked before the thing. I mean, I think we're all sick of talking about the Bulls at this point.
Yeah.
So I guess
I have enjoyed the trip down memory lane as far as those Cavs teams are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been fun for me.
Yeah, so the president is still Chris Paul, then Andre Iguodala, and then there are many, many vice presidents, which I find interesting.
Well, it's like any company. There's like a million presidents.
Andre Iguodala is the first vice president, and Anthony Tolliver is the secretary treasurer. And then you got Bismack Biyombo, Malcolm Brogdon, Jaylen Brown, Kyrie, which...
Oh, my gosh.
CJ McCollum and Garrett Temple, which actually is a pretty good group of guys. A couple of insufferable people on there, Andre Iguodala and Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie is totally insufferable.
Oh, I find Andre Iguodala totally insufferable, too.
Yeah, he is, too.
Yeah, I mean, for multiple reasons. But
Kyrie's my least favorite, like... all-time Cleveland athlete. Like, I can't think of anyone else that's accomplished as much as he has for the city of Cleveland that I dislike more than him. I mean, I don't think it's even close.
Man, I'm trying to think of, like, comps. Like, Albert Bell?
I mean, there's, like, Jose Mesa, I guess, was actually really good until he kind of, you know, blew the World Series. So he might be, for most people, on that list.
What about Albert Bell, who was, you know, by all accounts,
I feel like Albert... Yeah, but I feel like Albert Bell is sort of like a cult hero among a lot of fans. Like, I don't think the fans really dislike Albert Bell, even though the media hated him.
He was and Kyrie, but Kyrie did win a championship.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, he had a huge part in winning that championship, too. It wasn't like he was just on the team. But
you know what, though? In some ways, it's like Kyrie is... I really dislike him, but I love to hate him. Like, he is such a ridiculous person that it almost makes me a fan. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's super entertaining in that he's just this weird, eccentric dude who, you know, has to think he's the smartest guy in the room, but he's just kind of a buffoon. Like, remember, I don't know if you ever saw, I wrote a recap once all about how basically it looked like Kyrie was wearing a clown suit, like a suit made for a literal clown on the sidelines, you know, injured during a game. And I'm like, what an just odd human being. So in some ways, I actually enjoy the Kyrie Irving experience, but not when it's on my team. I guess that's the way to answer that.
I love to root against him for sure.
I will say I'm not a Jim Brown fan.
Okay.
I find him to be a somewhat unsavory. Yeah, I mean, the domestic violence is definitely not savory. He did a lot for civil rights, and he was very outspoken, but he was also kind of a jerk in his personal life, so not a big fan there. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't have an opinion on Jim Brown.
Yeah, not a huge fan, but I don't know who else. Who else is there? That's super controversial. Sean Kemp, I guess, a little bit of it.
I don't know if Ty Cobb played for the Indians, but he was from Ohio.
Yeah, that's going way back, though. Yeah. Pete Rose, I guess, is it?
Yeah, Pete Rose, but he's so beloved by, I mean, he could.
Reds fans, yeah. He could.
Oh, yeah, Cincinnati. Yeah. He's like the chosen one.
Yeah, I don't really feel like there's an India. Maybe Manny Ramirez.
Yeah, he's not a bad one, actually. I think most people don't have a favorable impression of Manny, and a lot of that's because, I mean, Manny killed the Indians for a lot of years after member of Boston. So though he was a total beast for the Indians, I think he's the kind of guy that a lot of Cleveland fans would be like, yeah, I'm not about Manny Ramirez.
So, which year was it that they lost to Boston?
99?
No.
Oh, 2007.
2006 or 2007?
2007. That was
so
rough.
So 2007, I still maintain the Indians win a World Series that year.
Oh, yeah. No question.
If they plunk Manny Ramirez instead of pitching to him. And they shouldn't have intentionally walked him. They shouldn't have pitched to him. They should have plunked him.
Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah, I felt like...
You know, that whole season was ridiculous. Like, Cliff Lee was an all-star pitcher the year before, and he won the Cy Young the year after, but he wasn't even on the postseason roster that year.
Yeah, and...
Which is just wild.
Yeah, and we had the Midge game, one of the most famous games in Tribe history.
Yes, the Midge game.
And one of the funnest. Yeah, that whole Yankee series was amazing.
Yeah, it really was.
And that Red Sox.
Joba.
Yeah, the Red Sox series was probably the lowest I ever felt as an Indians fan was that.
That was tough to stomach.
Like
even
the losing to the Cubs in the World Series, at least it was an epic World Series. Like
it was tough, but it didn't leave the same bitter taste in my mouth that losing to the Red Sox did.
You literally felt like both teams left everything out on the field after the end of the Cubs series. But yeah, the Boston series was just brutal. And then J.D. Drew hitting that big home run. Just, ugh. Yeah, I still have memories of that. And that was 13 years ago now. So
yeah. And J.D. Drew was batting like 80 on the season or something. He can hit anything.
Yeah, I know.
You know what the worst part about that was? That was sort of like the height of Bill Simmons' popularity. It was like 07. Oh, he came out with that. Came out with that book right around then about basketball, and he was just everywhere. And so he was just, you know, at the center of like the sports journalism world, and him being a Boston fan was just tough to stomach. All his little comments, like, you know, of course he was so biased, and so every, you know, pitch he was arguing, you know, oh, that wasn't a ball, that was a strike. And he was just, it was like the ultimate in Bill Simmons homerism, and it was just tough to stomach.
Yeah, Bill Simmons now exclusively of what is it? Spotify?
Wouldn't know.
Yeah, I think Spotify bought him. I bought The Ringer just for the podcast rights, and I don't know if you heard about Joe Rogan today. $100 million contract to be an exclusive Spotify podcaster.
Oh my gosh. $100 million?
Yeah, I mean, like when he was daring people to eat grub worms on whatever that NBC show was. That
I am not a Joe Rogan fan. I know so many people my age are, but I can't get into him.
Not a fan myself. He seems. He's the Guy Fieri of podcasting.
I like that.
We watch a lot of Guy Fieri in this house too, which is kind of funny. We watch a lot of Guy's Grocery.
I'm also over Elon Musk, by the way.
Well, I know you're over Elon Musk.
I'm really over Elon Musk.
Yeah, he is. You know, to use the coin of the realm, a bit of a douche.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, he's just, I am so sick of all these people. Like, the national discourse has become so fractured in the last, I mean, it's even worse than ever. And everybody has to be the smartest guy in the room. I mean, people who can't spell are telling me about how flawed the data science models for the state of Ohio were, and how they should have been done differently. It just drives me crazy. It's everybody thinks they're an expert on everything, and I think it's anybody's ability to be heard by everybody in the world that wants to hear them at any given moment is not necessarily a good thing for our society. But I digress. So you think we're not playing basketball? I think we could be. I would bet on it. I wouldn't bet a lot. I'd bet $20 on it, I guess.
Well, all right. I haven't been following, so I don't know what the rumors have been.
Well,
but
the rumors are they really want to play because there's a lot of people that have a lot of money invested in it, and they want to get something for their money because a lot of these, you know, a lot of these rich guys are hurting too, and the NBA players are still getting paid because of the CBA, and
so the owners want to play is what you're saying?
The owners want to play. Yeah, they want a return on their investment. You know,
okay.
They're hemorrhaging money because the NBA players are still getting paid. Now they are at a reduced, I think their salary has been reduced by 25%. And some players that had their money up front, I think LeBron being one of them, have to actually give some money back because of the player salary reductions. But yeah, it's, I think there's just too much money in it. And, of course my cynical take is that, we screwed around for 2 months. We figured out we couldn't do test and track because our government has become incompetent at very basic things. And so now we're just all going to be made to go back to work with extra precautions like social distancing and telework in place. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens. Man, you didn't even take the bait there, Tom.
No, because I'm just, I'm over it. I'm too exhausted.
Yeah, the national conversation is exhausting. So yeah, what else did we have on our minds? So the real, only real NBA news has been
The Last Dance.
The Last Dance, which you watched a few episodes. I watched a few episodes. I haven't caught up. It's fun because my wife was a very big Bulls fan in the 90s, and it's kind of funny because she grew up in West Virginia. She lived there from like when she was 6 to like 14.
Yeah.
And the only basketball that you could watch there at that time was the Bulls.
WGN.
Yeah, WGN. Yeah. So Scottie Pippen was her boy. She had a life-size cutout of Scottie Pippen.
Nice.
I feel like Scottie comes off well in that documentary.
Yeah, he gets criticized a lot. I'm not sure how many episodes you watched.
I'm two, but you feel free to spoil it. I remember it all at the time too. So,
well, I mean, you know, they go in a lot to his decision to sit out the start of the season and how that affected the team, and then when he came back, you know, Rodman didn't like being the third wheel, so he started to lose his cool. I don't know. It was interesting today reading an article that was talking about like Horace Grant being all pissed off about The Last Dance and just saying it was just, it's not a documentary. He kept calling it a so-called documentary, saying this is just it's just Jordan propaganda and that a whole bunch of stuff isn't true and that there was no need to like make a lot of his teammates like look bad. You know, he thought Scottie Pippen got portrayed unfairly and.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that, and a lot of people are saying Jordan comes off as the worst teammate of all time.
Yeah.
Which I am not surprised, and I've seen a lot of discussions on leadership, just like how Jordan's leadership style might have worked at that time, and clearly I think you'd get run out of town on a rail if you behaved like Jordan did now.
Yeah, and, it's hard to know, right? It's like... You know, you look at, I always look back to the LeBron, like Miami Heat stuff because, you know, the national narrative was that, well, you know, Dan Gilbert ran a circus and Pat Riley's running, you know, a military outfit and that's what LeBron needed, the structure. And it's like, well, okay, if Dan Gilbert had been a hard ass and been like, no, LeBron, all your boys can't like have jobs on the team and hang out on the team playing, then LeBron would have left and you would have criticized, you know, Dan Gilbert for being the idiot that ran LeBron out of town by not catering to him. So it was kind of like it was going to be lose-lose, right, no matter what. And it was interesting how when LeBron left, Riley seemed a little bitten by the whole thing. Like, I thought, you know, we had a winner here. I mean, he didn't lose it like Gilbert did. He didn't embarrass himself, but he's
done plenty of other things to embarrass himself. Like,
yeah, but he was pretty bit by the whole thing. And then I just thought it was interesting that Phil Jackson had a bunch of comments about all that, and he got killed for it by LeBron, who basically said,
well, the whole posse thing.
Yeah, saying that,
Phil's a jerk, though. Phil had totally jumped the shark at that point.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't think the word posse to everyone is like coded language. I think sometimes it just means like your group that is like got your back, like your boys.
We've had this podcast before.
I know we've talked about
this discussion. So
no, I know. I'm just saying.
But
to your point, it's like yes. Today, I think a lot of players would not handle the amount of the way things used to be. Like I agree. I don't think they would deal with. I don't think guys think of like a Kevin Love type guy, right?
Yeah.
You know, LeBron passive aggressively got on him, nothing like what Jordan used to do. And that was a source of turmoil for the team. And they decided they needed like Richard Jefferson and Channing Frye to come up with, they needed to do all this stuff to try to like get the toxicity out of there. I think Kobe was always seen as really an awful teammate. I don't think people thought of Jordan as an awful teammate while he was playing.
They just didn't say it.
Yeah, but I think now you're right. I don't think any players would deal with that kind of.
I mean, I think the NBA corollary right now is Chris Paul, who has a reputation of a guy that really gets on his teammates and has worn out his welcome in more than one, everybody hated him when he left the Clippers.
Yeah.
He was not missed in Houston when he left, the original Hornets team. So I think this year was a little bit of a, not as high a stakes. So I don't think the screws were on as much, so maybe Chris Paul relaxed a little bit in Oklahoma City. But, yeah, he's got that reputation, and people – I feel like bridges get burnt a lot easier, and people burn out on that kind of personality a lot quicker than they used to.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of guys like that in the NBA anymore. I mean, and maybe there never were, maybe – that's what made Jordan so special. But
did you ever watch old shows and the bosses in there will just flip out and literally start screaming people, flip tables? And like, I mean, I've worked for bosses and I've worked for some not so great bosses, but I've not seen like that level.
Oh,
of,
I have my old
have
boss.
You?
Oh, my old boss.
You would go ape.
Oh my God. So I have so many stories. and it was bizarre. Like I remember him just throwing, and you remember the old style push button phones, just throwing a phone across a room into a concrete wall. I've got another. So he was a lunatic and very much a person that if you were kind of a shrinking violet, he knew he could bully and who he couldn't.
Yeah.
And that was definitely, I fortunately was not on the list of people he could, cause I would have probably just walked out the door, and I think he knew that, but there was a lot of people that he would just scream at for stuff that went wrong. And like, I remember being in this one meeting and we're all on the phone and he's down, and it's funny because he bought a house in Florida and he became a Florida resident, and he would literally spend like 6 months of the year just down there. And sometimes it was 9 months, and we just started calling it the Southern Sales Office.
Yeah.
And there was one time we're all in this meeting and we've got all these people, and his brother, who was very much, cowed by him. His younger brother ran this one department at the company, and everybody's in this meeting about how we've got to do this, this, and this, and we got to tell Gary this, and this is. Oh, I mentioned named. I didn't mean to name names. But we got to tell him this, and this is going on.
We all know who Gary is, so yeah. screwed it up, man.
Well, if you know my work history, you know who I'm talking about. But honestly, I've only worked for three people in Ohio. So, but anyway, we all get in this room and he just starts laying into everybody on conference call. And I'm trying to be the one that explains what everybody decided and talked about that we need to tell them before this call started. And literally, I would say this and I'm like, right, guys? And it'd be like crickets in the back. Like nobody would back me up. And I just out there dangling on my limb. It was great. But he did this one. We had this one meeting that we came into, and we had this high-end printer, and he handed out $20 bills to everybody in this meeting. We're sitting around a conference table, and he just goes, I want you to tear that $20 bill in half. Just rip it into pieces. And I'm like, this wasn't me. This was somebody else. And they're just looking at him like, what do you want me to do? And like, and he goes, rip it into pieces, rip it into pieces. And so finally the guy rips it up and he goes, every time you throw away one of these printouts, you're ripping up a $20 bill. Just yelling at people. And he goes, you're just throwing money in the garbage every time you do this. Why are we wasting so much of this product? I mean, it's crazy. There was another time, so he had a Dodge Viper he bought, and we had been screwing up this one thing we manufactured, and not screwing it up all the time. Things happen, whatever. And he had everybody in this department come out, and he gave them each a shovel. And he's like, I want you to just beat the shit out of my car.
Oh my gosh, this guy was a lunatic.
And he's like, and the one guy is just like sitting there and he's holding a shovel and he's like, I don't know what to do. And this guy, this poor guy, he had been laid off, I want to say like 4 or 5 times. And like, and they always brought him back, but we literally, like, we made a joke one week that he was in the canary in the coal mine, that if he got laid off, we knew the company was struggling because he'd been laid off so many times. And then we all felt awful because he got laid off the next week.
Oh no.
But so this guy, he'd finally come back and kind of got in a stable position, and he's sitting there with the shovel and he's just like, doesn't know what to do. And he's like, I'm not going to hit your car. And he's like, well, you might as well, every time you throw one of these bleeping things in the trash, it's like $800 every single time.
Oh, wow.
It's just crazy. So yeah, I definitely work for a boss like that, and I never want to work for a boss like that again. But I mean, I guess the one thing about Jordan was that he did work as hard as anybody else and he backed it up. So
yeah, I mean, there's a price to pay for, you know, that kind of greatness.
Don't I know it?
I mean, I don't think if Jordan had been a really nice, easygoing guy, he would have had the success on the court that he did.
Yeah, I often wonder if that's Mark Price's problem. Like, not problem per se, but he's almost too nice of a guy.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. Who knows?
I mean, he has not been able to latch on with a coaching gig. He coached in Charlotte. He's been NBA assistant a few places. It's like,
yeah,
it's
he's definitely like, bounced around a bit.
And you've met him. He's an unbelievably nice guy, right?
Yeah. He's really, really nice guy.
Yeah, maybe that's his problem. Maybe, as Garfield once said, the business of being nice doesn't put food on the table.
To quote the great Garfield.
Yeah.
And I loved Garfield as a kid.
So there's a really funny, I watched Zombieland Double Tap, and there's a really funny cutscene at the end, and it's Bill Murray doing it's right when the zombie outbreak happens, and he's doing a fictional press junket for Garfield 3. As the zombie apocalypse starts taking hold, it's actually pretty fun.
Nice.
But yeah, that's my Bill Murray story of the week. But yeah, I don't know what to make of that era that much. I do get super annoyed at this guy could have played in this era, or Jordan wouldn't be as good now. Jordan would be just as good now.
Jordan would be as good now. Oh, no question.
So here's the big, like, you've heard the thing, Jordan would average 50 points now. I don't think that's true, but what my take is, Jordan would not average 50 points, but he would probably have 30 points and at least 10 assists a game because he would get so – the entire defense would tilt toward him.
Well, I think Jordan today would in some ways not be the same Jordan because you think about, you know, what Jordan did and the flu game. I mean, just the whole Jordan brand. I mean, he, you know, really revolutionized all that. And so I think his mode was to just go balls to the wall all the time and didn't really care about the next season or, you know, I mean, he every night was like his legacy, you know, I guess. Yeah. And I think if he played today with the way teams rest players and just if they were, they would be concerned about his minutes all the time. And if he was sick, he wouldn't play. And I don't know. I just think that.
You mean hungover?
Yeah, right. I think in, you know, today's NBA, he would feel like a different player. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I certainly think his game would change. I think he would have gotten much better at threes.
Yeah, he would have. His game translates, no question. I mean, he could kind of do anything. And he was a great defender. You know, he could score from any place on the court in any kind of situation. You know, he was like Russell Westbrook on his best day and that he could just straight up attack you and you just like couldn't deal with it. But he was also really crafty. He wasn't like a bull in a china shop. Like he had really good footwork. Yeah. He could spin either direction. He had these up and under moves. Like he had a lot of footwork that big men had and he mastered that guys today don't. Everything today has to be like a face up, you know?
Yeah.
He mastered all kinds of fadeaways off his leg and stuff. I mean, he could get a shot off in any situation.
Well, and the great thing about him was not necessarily that he could get a shot off in any situation, but he had such great footwork and such great ability to move to different parts of the court that the minute he got to an open spot, he could shoot it from there and make an easy shot. Like there's so many guys, like one thing I always thought that was different than Kobe and Jordan is Kobe would take and make hard shots. Jordan would do the hard work to get himself an easy shot.
Yeah, no, that's true. I agree with that.
Different
that's a good, that's
than
a good
Kobe.
Assessment. Yeah.
Different than Kobe. So yeah, he was really a master of that and probably the best mid-range jump shooter, especially towards the end of his career. You know, something I read the other day, he only finished at like 50% at the rim or around there at his last season, but he was like 50% from everywhere else on the field but three, which is insane, you know.
Yep.
So, I mean, or higher. So, yeah, it's been a fun ride watching that. I got to binge watch it with my wife a little bit, but it's definitely been a fun ride. I know that the ESPN top 75 players of all time list came out, 74 players. I don't know why they focused on that. And the top 10 was interesting.
Yeah. Let's argue.
Let's argue, yeah. So number one was Jordan.
Fair.
Number two. Oh, hold on. Hold on. Ah. I accidentally. You heard all Marv Albert in the background. So they had Shaq at 10, which to me is ridiculous if you have Kobe Bryant at 9. So, because you know my take that even after Shaq left, Kobe wasn't the best player on his championship team, that Pau Gasol was actually a better player, but.
No, I mean, prime Shaq is better than prime Kobe. I think Kobe 100%. Scores some bonus points for me in that he, you know, his career until the Achilles injury, you know, he was pretty effective, where Shaq kind of like went off a cliff, you know, his last 5 or 6 seasons. I mean, he was just a mercenary and, you know.
Yeah, and that cliff. He was hanging on by his fingertips in Cleveland.
Yeah, he really was. I mean, he was a big body, and he could still score at the rim. But, you know, defense, rebounding, floor spacing, free throw shooting, everything else was so bad at that point. You know, I still like that the Cavs did that. I think, you know, they were trying to come up with a silver bullet answer to Dwight Howard, and there really weren't that many players in the league that statistically did well in ISO against Howard. That's the other thing. That's a guy who no one is going to remember how good he was, Dwight Howard. Howard, for like three seasons, was completely unstoppable.
Yeah.
And then injuries and just being weird, I think, kind of, you know, derailed what could have been an amazing Hall of Fame career. And he might still get in the Hall of Fame. I don't know.
He still absolutely will. I mean, he's
just because his numbers are so crazy.
Well, not only it's not even the career numbers. It's also how many all NBA teams and all defensive teams he had and defensive player of the year. Like, it was longer than 3 years. It was like a 4 to 5 year stretch of being the best center in the NBA. And then, you know, a couple of years after that of being, you know, still an all-star. So, and the problem is he's just played for so long, and the last 4 years or so, three years or so, are at a, you know, role player level. Whereas, and then this last year with the with the Lakers, he's been really good. So,
yeah, bench his first stint with the Lakers did not go well.
It was a disaster of
total disaster. Proportions. Total disaster.
Yeah. But then, so yeah. And I don't know where he ranks on the list. I gotta pull that up. But, number eight is, Tim Duncan.
All right.
I feel like that's a fair ranking.
Yeah. I agree.
Larry Bird is number seven. You could probably switch those if you wanted, but Larry Bird.
I think Larry Bird meant more for the game. I think Tim Duncan had a better career, but that's fine.
And actually, I think Larry Bird is one of those players that if he'd have played today, they would have taken so much better care of him. And he would have, you know, been in the weight room and done a ton of other things that probably would have made his career. And I think he's another guy that could have probably played in any era.
Oh, just absolutely.
Because he was such a good shooter.
And he was so, and just so overall talented.
I mean, he could absolutely do so many things. Destroy zones right now, like as a passer and a shooter.
Yeah, he understood the game so well. He saw the floor well. Just, you know, again, a guy that could make any shot from any spot on the floor. And he was big. He had that high release. With the emphasis on like three pointers today, I think Larry Bird would look a lot like Jokic or someone like that. Yeah. I mean, he would just be really unstoppable.
Yeah. And then, I think that's a good comp. Wilt Chamberlain is six, which it might be too low, but I actually honestly think Wilt Chamberlain is probably the greatest athlete in NBA history.
Well, relative to his peers, that's probably true.
What do you mean?
I mean, like, he'd be the most athletic person in the league today in a league full of freak athletes.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
And he was that way at a time when there were a lot of guys that looked more like they belonged at, like, a meatpacking plant than on a basketball court.
I mean, he was 7'1" and could run a 10'8", 900-yard dash.
Yeah.
That is insane.
He was a total freak.
Could literally pull a penny off the top of the backboard.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't, like, he was amazing. He was the greatest athlete to ever play, and the fact that he was 7'1" makes it even more amazing. Like, I almost feel like the game was almost too easy for him.
It was, yeah.
And that it wasn't a challenge, and that's why he wasn't kind of the player that Bill Russell was.
Right.
So five is Magic. That feels fair. Bill Russell's four. I would probably put him ahead of Kareem, but they got Kareem at three, and I'm good with that. You could probably flip those two, but I don't think there's any arguing. What about you, Tom? Is Kareem rated too high because he just played?
I think so. I think he is. I mean, I honestly, it's hard for me to argue that any of those guys, save Bill Russell, had a better career than Tim Duncan. If I'm just thinking about raw talent plus numbers plus championships, you know, it's like, I mean, Tim Duncan's got, what, 5 championships?
I believe he was, so, yeah.
He has some MVPs, defensive player of the year. You know, I mean, it's hard for me to say, like, Kareem had a better career than
Tim. He has the most victories for any player with one team in NBA history.
I think he has the most playoff victories.
Yeah.
Ever, maybe? Or maybe possibly. LeBron. Maybe LeBron.
I think it's LeBron now, but or LeBron will catch him. For sure.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's okay. It's a good list. I mean, I might shuffle it around a little bit. I think I think Kobe is too high on this list. I have a hard time thinking, like, Kobe had a better career than, like, you know, Oscar Robertson.
Yeah,
I think there's other guys that are more contemporary to Kobe that you could argue had a better career than Kobe. I mean, I think Kobe does have the championships, and you can't discount that. But I mean, like, Kevin Garnett had a pretty ridiculous career too. So I'd be interested where he ranks.
Yeah, let me look.
Is he in the top 20?
Yeah, I'm pulling it up now. He is 20.
Okay, so if you remember, we used to look at like 15-year Rapham and stuff like that,
yeah.
And it was like LeBron, KG, and Duncan.
Yeah,
were the top three, like, by far. Kobe wasn't even anywhere near it, the top.
Yeah,
just to put a little statistical argument on there. So, well,
and it's so interesting because, you know, Bill Simmons did this, you know, 14 years ago. He's done this a million times.
Yeah.
Karl Malone used to be in the top 10. Like, everybody was like, Karl Malone's the greatest power forward ever. And they've got him at 17.
But I think that's fair, though. I mean, I think Karl Malone was, you almost got to think of, like, Stockton and Malone. I don't think Karl Malone without Stockton is Karl Malone. And likewise,
I don't think so
Stockton
either.
Without Malone is Stockton. So it's almost
I disagree.
Like,
I actually think John Stockton might be the most underrated player of all time.
Well, you might be right, but it helps racking up all those assists when you're giving it to a guy that can get buckets.
Yeah, so they had Big O at 11, which that's
pretty good.
I almost put it a little high, but...
No, you're not. You think Big O? You're not a numbers guy, then. You don't like just the pure numbers
I do like the pure numbers. I think Hakeem's at 12, and I honestly feel like Hakeem's a little better, but it's probably because I watched Hakeem, so I didn't watch Oscar Robertson a lot. But I also think Big O should probably be higher than Kobe, like you said. So
yeah.
So take a guess who's 13.
Oh. All right, it's you're laughing. So,
let's just imagine a little mouth guard sticking out of his mouth. And...
Oh, Steph Curry? No, no way. They do not have him at 13.
Yeah, they do.
No, they do not.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
It's so ridiculous. One spot ahead.
Oh my gosh, you have to be kidding me. I mean, maybe when it's all said and done, but. Now already they're saying that?
Yeah, and one spot ahead of KD, which is so ridiculous.
Oh wow, KD too. Yeah, I think that's some recency bias right there.
Yeah, I mean, they got Dr. J at 15.
Maybe they're just projecting like that those guys will keep being good for a while, and that when it's all said and done, they think that's where they'll
be.
No,
I think it's just pure recency bias.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got Dr. J at 15, and I would 100% put Dr. J above KD and Steph Curry.
Yeah, well, he was a lot more important to the game, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, literally, the ABA does not get folded into the NBA if Dr. J wasn't...
Like, every one of the golden era of basketball, Dr. J was, like, their idol.
Yeah.
Like Bird, Magic, Michael, all those guys just wanted to be like Dr. J.
Yeah, well, and...
Just like the, you know, the LeBron era, they all wanted to be like Mike.
Yeah. I mean, the Spurs, Pacers, who are the other teams that came from the ABA? The Sonics? I can't remember. But all the teams from the ABA that are in the NBA right now, they're not there if not for Dr. J.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. They got the logo at 16. And that's probably a guy that is, here's the logo's problem. Like,
well, he never won anything, right?
He did. He won championships.
Wasn't he like 1-9 in championships?
Yeah, he won one, but...
Yeah, but then he lose like a million?
So here's the logo's biggest problem. The logo's biggest problem is all these other older guys, there's not a lot of film on them. But the logo, there's a lot of film on him, and I don't know if it's because he was in L.A. or it was because it was right when, you know, color TV and that was taken off. But he looks so old and slow.
Yeah, I know.
In the film. Like, and then you watch someone like Pistol Pete, and you're like, how is that guy, like, rated higher than Pistol Pete?
So. Yeah, Pistol Pete was crazy.
18 is Moses Malone, 19 is Dirk Nowitzki, and 20 is KG. I would put KG above Dirk and Moses Malone.
I don't know. I mean, I it's arguable.
Yeah.
But I think Dirk is very underrated. So I'm glad they had him that high. That's good.
Yeah. I mean, Pippen's 21, and I actually feel like he should be higher, but
maybe. I don't know. It's tough to decouple Pippen from the Bulls, but I mean, he was obviously in his own right just a really great player.
Yeah, they got Kawhi at 25.
I'm a little surprised. Wow, I'm a little surprised I haven't heard D Wade's name yet.
So D Wade was 26.
Okay,
and then so Giannis 27.
It is very hard for me right now to say Kawhi's had a better career than D Wade. Now I think he's a better. I think when it's all said and done, we'll probably say that. But, I mean, D-Wade was a superstar in an era of superstars. And it was LeBron, and then it was D-Wade for about 5 years. And everyone only wanted to talk about Kobe. But you look at what Wade's numbers were, and just, I mean, he was unreal.
Well, and how many championships does he have? Three?
Three.
Yeah, although one was a total gift.
Yeah, against the
Mavs. Yeah,
Thunder.
Oh, the Mavs.
Oh, a gift from Tim Donaghy. Yeah.
or the NBA refs. But
well, actually, and that championship against the Thunder was kind of a joke, right? They were, I mean, the Thunder were just happy to be there. That was that was one of the weakest opponents I think ever.
And Harden was terrible.
Yeah,
that series. Yeah. Yeah, that was an odd. Yeah, that they shouldn't have been, not Harden. Yeah, Harden was terrible. Like, the funny thing is, on paper, you were like, man, the Thunder should have been so much better. But yeah, they were just
inexperienced. And so young. And really glad to be there, I think.
Kevin Durant, mentally weak.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then of course 1 and 2. So they got Bill Russell 3, and 1 and 2 are LeBron 2, Jordan 1.
That's not a bad list. There's nothing on there that I'm like, I can't. Kobe's the one on there that I would say I think is the most spots out of whack.
Yeah.
And then probably Bob Cousy. That seems a little out of whack for me. But, I mean, I don't know how to rank a guy from that long ago that I haven't.
Not Bob Cousy, Jerry West.
Jerry West, that's what I meant, yeah.
Yeah, I don't even think Cousy's in the top 40. So, which is interesting because a lot of people say if it weren't for Cousy, like, they have Chris Paul at 40, which I think is ridiculous.
Whoa, 40?
Too low or too high?
I think
my problem.
Actually, I don't know. I don't know what it is, to be honest.
You know my Chris Paul take, right? It's the guy gets hurt in the playoffs every year. So at a certain point,
he's also insane, like, in terms of his assists, his efficiency, and his steals.
But to me, the playoffs matter, and he's one of the worst playoff players of all time.
Yeah, but, well, he always does get hurt. You're right about that.
Yeah, I mean, it just happens. I mean, what are you going to do? But
you know, I would say the other guy on that list that seemed a little underrated to me was Moses Malone, because everyone talks about how that guy was totally unstoppable.
Yeah.
And the only guy to win an MVP on a losing team in the finals.
Oh,
so.
Here's a ridiculous one. James Harden at 32.
See, I don't know how you put Harden at 32 and put Steph Curry at whatever the hell. Who's that, like 11 or something?
13.
Yeah, that reeks to me. I don't think there's
championships.
That much, I don't think there's that much separation between Curry and Harden. Yeah. I'd give Curry the nod overall as a player, but I mean, right now I wouldn't. Right now, Harden's a better player. In terms of their career, Curry's had a better career, but
Yeah. Well, they tanked this year, so we'll see what they're like in the future. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's a fun list, though, for sure.
All right. So, anyone on that list that you think would shock me? There they are.
No, I mean, they had John Havlicek, 33. I'm not remotely qualified to judge 60s and 70s Celtics teams. So,
yeah.
Isaiah Thomas, 31, is probably a little low. It's probably 31.
Yeah, like, that seems a little.
Rating Isaiah Thomas or Allen Iverson ahead of Isaiah Thomas seems ridiculous.
Wow, and where do they have Allen Iverson?
29, Stockton 28. Like, I almost feel like you've got to put Isaiah Thomas ahead of those guys because he was the best player on two championships.
I don't think I would put Isaiah Thomas ahead of John Stockton, but I may put him ahead of Allen Iverson.
Well, neither did Jordan. Yeah.
All right, I want to.
Robinson 24, Barkley 23,
David Robinson,
yeah, Elgin okay. Baylor 22. Okay. And I think I went over everybody. Yeah, it's a good list.
Is Steve Nash this list?
Yeah, he was. Hold on,
where is he?
Oh, he was right. He's 30. One spot ahead of Isaiah Thomas, which I think is ridiculous.
I think Steve Nash is a very overrated player.
He's got a 14 point per game career average. Like, he really had three good years where some of these other guys had, like, for a 9-year season, he led the league's most efficient offenses between Dallas and Phoenix, but eh. Third in career, I would pick Stockton over him 100 times. Well, Stockton's 28, but yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one for me to swap.
I actually think Stockton's too low at 28, but Buddy doesn't have a ring and that hurts you. So
yeah, it does.
Yeah, and I don't know. But it's a fun list. We did Cavs rank top 10 Cavs all time.
Yeah.
And we were going to revisit that. So I'm going to pull that up right now. And I think we did it in conjunction with some other blogs. So it might have been, we might have to jump around a little bit for that. But
I think on one of them you could find like the master list.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or bring up the Google Drive doc where we did all the rankings.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, and then, of course, you remember the big controversy of Cavs ranked villains was that we rated Miami LeBron as the number one villain. Yeah. And do you remember who freaked out about that?
I can guess.
A certain reader whose name rhymes with holes.
Yeah. Whose logic can be poked with holes.
Yeah, but that was interesting. I'm trying to find our top 10. This is how prepared we are here, but yeah, Cavs rank. Here we go. Cavs rank villains was a fun series, but I'm having a hard time finding the Cavs rank stuff, so that's sad.
We did it before, you know, the LeBron 2.0 era. So yeah. There's a whole new bunch of characters that we could include. So let's just do it. I mean, we had Mark Price 1. We had LeBron 2. I think we have Austin Carr 3, I think. Brad Doherty 4.
Here we go. I got it. Cavs rank number 1, Mark Price.
Yeah.
Number 2 was LeBron, which was fair. number 3,
I think it was Austin Carr.
I think it probably was, yeah. What else did we have? Yeah, now I gotta pull up that thing. But who would be your number 3 right now? Is it Kyrie? Or is it Mark?
No way.
Who's your number three then, right now?
Well, who's my number 2?
I was assuming that Mark Price and LeBron.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
In whatever order you want to put them in.
My number 3, freaking Delly.
I'm going to say no.
You're gonna call me yes. All right. Number three. Yeah. I don't know.
This has been like 3 minutes of us hemming and hawing.
I just don't want to give it to Kyrie, but it's definitely should be him. I mean, he's the combination most talented and brought, you know, a championship to the team. But I won't forget, you know, how lazy he was and how overrated he was in the regular season and how empty a lot of his game was. But all that said, you know, you gotta give credit where it's due. Without his singular shot making ability, so the Cavs don't win a title.
So this is really the best. Look at, so Cavs ranked number one on March 31st, 2014 by Tom Pastak is Mark Price. The very next article published, I'm going to see when it was published and who wrote it. Hold on. I'm pulling it up. By Nate Smith, the Cavs should really trade Kyrie Irving, parentheses, probably.
Yeah. They should have.
Yeah. It was funny.
I mean, they might have won more championships. Honestly, they may have.
Dion Waiters had a higher rap-em in 2013-2014.
Yeah, well, our Dion Waiters love didn't age well either.
No, it did not. And I'm sure that I'm sure that somebody took us to the woodshed over that. I kind of want to go back and read that after this is done, but I'm sure somebody beat me up over it. So who's four? Is it Kevin Love, Larry Nance Jr.?
No, it's not Larry Nance Jr. You mean Larry Nance?
Sure. Sorry, Larry Nance. That's what it meant.
I it's probably Brad Doherty.
Okay. So we had, here's LeBron. Oh, here's our list. So, LeBron was number two, Brad Doherty three. So who do you have four?
Larry Nance.
Okay. Is Kevin Love five?
Or
is it Zydrunas?
Yeah, it's Z. Yeah, it's Z.
Okay. Six.
I'll go Kyrie.
I thought you had him at three.
No, I had Brad Doherty at three.
Oh, okay. So six. Six, we had Austin Carr. Now we've got Kyrie Irving at six. Kyrie Irving on the old one was eight. Number seven, he's definitely leapfrogged this guy. Terrell Brandon.
Yeah. I would probably go Kevin Love.
Yeah. Number nine was... Yeah, Kevin Love at seven. Yeah, that's fair. I would put Kevin Love higher, but Andy was number nine.
Ooh, Andy.
That was probably
too high.
Yeah, probably. But you know what?
You got to remember the era, right? This was when Andy was the only guy doing anything on the
Cavs.
But
here's the other thing. The drop-off after Andy or after Kyrie is pretty steep. Like, number 10 is World Be Free. Who's better, World Be Free or Andy?
I don't know. I don't know.
I kind of got to put John Hot Rod Williams ahead of both of them.
Yeah, well, where'd T. Brandon end up then? Or did you just bump him down?
Oh, yeah, I just bumped him down one. So, yeah, Terrell Brandon probably goes to number nine ahead of Andy. And then, but I feel like that drop.
Yeah, then I like Hot Rod then.
Hot Rod then at 10.
I mean, you got to think of some of those old guys like Bingo Smith. And
yeah, we had him at 17. I actually probably bump him a bit.
I mean, I think Nate Thurman was important to the franchise. So.
And was also a really good player.
Yeah.
He probably beats out. Oh, so number 20 in that year was Mo Williams and Nate Thurman.
Oh no, Mo is gone from this list.
Yeah, and written by Carter Rodriguez, which I find interesting. Bingo Smith was written by Scott Robb at 17.
God, I hate that guy.
Really? I don't hate him, but you hate him because he's a Stark Raving liberal. So
I hate him because he's an asshole.
Well, there's that.
I'm really good friends with a lot of liberals.
Screw them. Sean Kemp. Where do you put Sean Kemp? So
we had not him at, on the list. DNP.
You forget how good Sean Kemp was.
I don't have any fond memories of the Sean Kemp era. I would rather give that to Mo Williams or Tristan Thompson.
I really want to read the Robert Attenweiler, who, congrats, Robert.
That's awesome.
Had a little one arrived.
Yeah, so, what a good-looking baby, too. My gosh, most babies look like ugly aliens, but Robert's baby looks really good.
Have you seen him and his wife? They're not an unattractive couple.
I mean, no comment.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying they're attractive people. Those coastals, what? Man.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Jim Jones. Yeah, we could get
Jim Jones was solid. Yeah.
We had him at 14. That feels about right. So you're just dropping Sean Kemp off the list.
I think then you got to start thinking about other main contributors on the championship team. I think you got to look at.
So who were the starters? So Tristan Thompson is probably got to move into move into the top 20 at this point.
Yeah, especially just because he was pretty close in the playoffs for 2015 and 2016.
Like, I feel like you could just slide Andy's name out and put Tristan's in.
You could. I think Andy was a better player, but I mean, Tristan's got a ring and Andy was not there for that.
Hey, Andy had a big part of that ring.
That's true.
By being so terrible in the finals, so in game 7. Ron Harper should be higher, but he didn't play for the Cavs
very long.
He had a cup of coffee. So who else is from the championship run? It gets into the top 20 now.
JR,
you got to put him. He's definitely in the top 20. I would take.
I'm fine putting JR in the top 20. Actually, he was pretty close.
He's more important to the Cavs than Ron Harper.
Yeah, for sure. No question. Yeah,
I mean, I would drop Ron Harper out. Lenny Wilkins probably more, definitely better than Mo Williams. Does Craig Elo probably still stays in the top 20? I feel like this list has not been kind to Andy. Like, Andy might not be in the top 20 anymore.
Yeah, he was a little bit artificially high just because, like I said, in 2014, he was the only Cavalier doing anything.
Yeah, exactly. So so we've got JR. Yeah, JR is a top 20 guy. And I don't know if anybody else from those teams is top 20. I mean, you had Channing and Richard Jefferson, but they were really much.
They were pretty much role players. Yeah.
And then you had Deli, but Deli's like a fan.
I mean, Deli,
and he didn't do a lot in the playoffs. I mean, he had run in 2015.
Yeah, 2016.
But he didn't really do anything after that.
And the fact that he didn't even really play at all in the finals.
Yeah.
It hurts his legacy. But I blame Tyronn Lue for that because he should have been playing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that'd be a good.
They just lost faith in him.
That'd be a good Cavs rank is coaches and GMs.
Oh yeah.
And owners. That'd be a good Cavs rank for sure.
That would be good.
And Lenny Wilkins might be the only guy on both lists.
Yeah, I think most fans would take exception to the Kyrie hate, and they would be like, "You're crazy if Kyrie's not like top two or three." They may be okay with Price, but they would not be okay with pretty much anyone else being up there, just given how talented, he was.
Yeah.
And I think, those shots and that finals especially, and just his overall playoffs, it, in a lot of ways kind of like, validated how good he was. But, I mean, it doesn't mean he wasn't a very weak player in certain aspects and an incredibly lazy player, and a player that just in many cases did not make his teammates better at all. I mean, he shined. And it was like, okay, defense is, you know, offense is breaking down. Who can get a bucket in a half court? There were few guys better than Kyrie.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
And that mattered. But, you know, I mean, we watched preseason games. We watched regular season games, you know, and he was, I think people forget, like, especially before LeBron came back, just the stark difference between the reputation he had built up from like All-Star games and YouTube clips and his kind of brand and his actual contributions to winning, which were very weak.
Yeah.
Where's Spencer Hawes rank? American Patriot.
I don't know. I was looking at some of those other guys from, like, I have an outsized affection for Kyle Korver because I really enjoyed, you know, the year and a half he was with the Cavs.
Yeah, solid for sure.
Oh my God. So 2017 roster, they have Larry Sanders listed.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, didn't he play like one game?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, where would you put Andrew Bynum?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Luol Deng.
Culture changer,
Luol Deng. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in a way, it's, I think on the outside, so I got a couple guys on the outside looking in. Iman Shumpert, played a lot of moments. I don't know if they were always big moments in the playoff runs, but was there for all of it, I think, or most of it.
I mean, Shump was a serviceable, you know, slightly below average guy for a couple of years.
I do feel like we are underrating some of those guys from the earlier
1.0 era.
Yeah, like
Delonte or
Booby. Yeah, but those guys probably didn't have an impact long enough to be on that list.
Yeah, that's part of the problem.
I mean, Larry Nance Jr.
Good.
Yeah, Ducktail.
Yeah.
I feel like Larry Nance Jr. could be on that list outside looking in.
Eventually, yeah.
I feel like he's in the, I'd put him in the top 30 at this point. So that's fun. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
The Cavs got some hitters.
I don't think he's been around long enough for that.
No. Maybe not. Top 40? Maybe. Yeah. But, yeah, we've definitely, I would put JR and Tristan definitely in that top, and Kevin Love obviously in that top 20. You got to wait the championship series for sure.
Yeah.
And there's some 90 guys that were really good.
Tyrone Hill.
Yeah, that's a good.
Bobby Phills, Chris Mills, Dan Marley,
Bobby Surah.
Wesley Person.
Wes Person, Bobby Surah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were some fun teams. The Fratello era, even though they played a terrible style.
They did. They played a terrible style, but they were scrappy. And Cedric Henderson, wow.
Yeah.
J.J. Hickson?
No, because he kept us from getting Amare.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
I know you are. You would never intentionally trigger me that hard.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a fun. It was a fun trip down memory lane. I mean, it's certainly fun that the championship era, I feel like, to capture the what it means to be a Cavs fan at this point, you got to go top 25 and not, you can't just go top 20 anymore to capture the entirety of the Cavs experience. So that is fun, and we haven't even like really gotten into any of those Miracle of Richfield,
right.
I mean, a little bit they did.
Trying to think if we're forgetting anyone important from there.
Yeah. Well, there's, what was his name? Nate.
Dick Snyder.
I met Dick Snyder. I got to meet Dick Snyder. I told you that story, didn't I? Like, it maybe. Was literally the day after they had that reunion for the Miracle of Richfield team, and they gave all those guys jackets. And
okay,
he was wearing his jacket, and he lives in North Canton, and he was wearing it at the BJ's Wholesale Club.
So, oh, nice. You saw him there?
Yeah, I did. I went up and said hi. I was like, it was really awesome. It was either the day after or 2 days after. It was, you know, congratulations. Really enjoyed that. Big fan. So it was cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. So yeah,
we don't have BJ's down here.
Yeah, well, my wife and I joined the Costco, so we literally drive 25 minutes to the Costco or 35 minutes to the Costco in Hudson, once a month. So, speaking of retail nightmares, you and I are both going through a little bit of home improvement pains right now.
Yeah, we are. We are. My washing machine broke. Previously, my water softener broke. It's been a struggle. The struggle is real.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any crazy salesman stories that you were?
So what is the guy's name in 30 Rock that's like super nice and kind of feminine?
Oh, Kent or.
Yeah. Ken something or whatever is his name.
Yeah.
Okay. So a guy comes to my door and he kind of looks like that and he kind of sounds like that, but you would imagine then that he would be kind of relaxed. And if I was like, no, you know, I'm not interested in like you spraying my yard and my house for bugs. Thanks, but no thanks. That he'd be like, oh, all right. You know, this guy was not going to be denied. I mean, he was, you know, one part like, single track mind, like I'm not even gonna look at this guy. If I'm starting to smell that, you know, he's not interested, I'm just gonna drone on. He got aggressive with me when I tried to cut him off, you know. He started asking me for my contact information. I was just like, no. You know? I mean, he was crazy. I was just, when he was done, I thought to myself, you know, I am kind of in a no-nonsense mood right now. I was kind of pissed off to begin with. I was like, I wasn't really friendly with him. Multiple occasions, I tried cutting him off. You know, when he asked me for my contact info, I was like, dude, no, it's not happening. Like, I'm not getting my house sprayed for bugs. I thought, this guy is going to, like, do some work on our neighborhood, because there is no way I was being less aggressive than the average person. Like, the average person is going to have a tough time with this guy, you know, just selling bug spray. But here's the thing. Like, I hate this whole model, this whole like, like, well, you know, it's like the chiropractor model. It's like, you know, maybe just spray for bugs. I don't need you every 3 months for the rest of my life. Just like, you know, I get it a little more with lawn service, because you're trying to grow and nurture nature. But you're just killing bugs. Like, you don't have to come back in 3 months and kill them again. If you just kill them now, if I have a problem now, the problem is over, right?
If you got to come back in 3 months, you're not a very good exterminator.
And I have issues against killing bugs and spraying pesticides. I don't think you need to do it. I don't have a farm. Right? I'm not growing crops. Like, if I get a couple weeds, it's not the end of the world. If I have some bugs in my yard, well, don't kill the spiders and they'll take care of the bugs, right? Or the bats will take care of the bugs.
It's not like you got carpenter ants running around.
No, and it's not like we got malaria in America. So I'm not that concerned with bugs.
And if we do, there's a drug going around that we can deal with.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah, we got that drug that, Trump's taking.
The hydrochloroquine.
Right. And we got Simo to tell us all about that. But I just, you know, it's like, this guy is coming at me so strong. And finally, when he asked me, you know, I'm saying no, I'm shaking my head. And finally he's like, so what's your, how do I spell your name? And I'm like, dude, I am not getting your service. I'm just not. And he's like, well, why not? Is it the price? And I was like, no. And I don't need to give you a reason. And, you know, maybe it's just, I don't want my house sprayed for bugs. Maybe I've got 5 kids and I don't trust that your bug spray, which, if we're being serious, bug spray is
designed to kill.
It's a neurotoxin. Yeah. No, it's a neurotoxin. And so if a human breathes it in, you get a headache because you're too big to get killed by it. And if like an, you know, if like an, a mosquito, you know, breathes it in, its brain ruptures or something crazy like that. But, you know, it's like, it doesn't seem beyond the pale to me that some people would be like not that interested in like spraying their house and their yard for bugs. And this guy is all acting like, what, are you like the only lunatic on this street that isn't going to, you know, get this service? It's just.
So my story, and I don't know if you had a climax or how did it end?
Well, I mean, it ended with, you know, him whipping out his tablet and trying to show me his Better Business Bureau. And look, I've got like 5,000 ratings. And I noticed the address was Sandy, Utah. So I was like, well, why does it say Utah? So I was like trying to get him on the defensive because this guy's coming on so damn strong. So he's all like, well, I'm blah, blah, blah. And I service the, you know, it's the parent company. And I was like, oh, okay. So you're like a big corporation. So I said to him, because he's all trying to act like, you know, he's my neighborhood friendly guy. You know, that's how they start. They start by saying,
oh,
like,
it's the neighborhood discount. Yeah.
Yeah.
They start doing saying, your neighbor's house. It's cheaper.
Exactly. Exactly. It's cheaper if I do it all at once. And I do Bob's and I do Larry's. I'm like, you know, unfortunately, I haven't lived here long enough to validate
to know
whether
who those, Bob and Larry are.
Yeah, if those names are legit or not. But I mean, I don't trust that at all. Right. But yeah. Yeah. It's like attacking the bug.
So did you finally, how'd you get him to go away?
Yeah,
you finally just like close your door and slowly sink back into the house.
Right. So like I'm trying to work, right? I'm at work. So he comes during the day. He didn't come on a weekend. Second of all, I got like a baby screaming in the background. Third of all, I was already pissed off about probably work or something. I was not in a good mood when he came. I think I had to go to the bathroom too. I think I was like starting to dance a little bit, like I really need to go. And it was shocking to me how this guy was like, I'm just gonna ignore you and just keep talking. And I, you know, I don't care what you say. I'm thinking, is this guy gonna be here for like a half hour while I listen to him talk until my, you know, expression changes to the point where he's like, ooh, maybe I'll get somewhere now. I said something that resonated, you know? I don't know, but through my mind, I kept thinking like, should I just tell this guy off? Should I just start yelling? Be like, get the hell out of here. But you know, that's not really my style. So
yeah. And you were probably too nice. I mean, so I have a somewhat similar story and I'm going to tell this memento style where I tell it backwards.
Perfect.
Because so yesterday or this morning, my phone starts ringing at 7:15, and usually that's right around the time I'm getting up, but you know, anywhere now that I don't have to commute anymore, I could literally get up 10 minutes before work starts and, you know, and just jump on a call, you know, or jump on an 8 o'clock meeting, whatever. So it's 7:15. I'm still in bed. Phone rings and I'm like, ah, what the hell? Who's calling me? So I answer. And they're like, Mr. Smith, this is so-and-so from something-something mortgage. And I'm like, okay. You went on Lending Tree last night and were looking. And I'm like, ugh. So
yeah, they got you.
The night before, I'd been looking for rates on a home equity line. And I knew the minute I put my phone number and my email in that I would get bombarded. What I did not realize was that they would start calling me at 7:15. And I'm like, I can't talk now. I literally just woke up. I've got to get up and I can't talk till like maybe 2 o'clock. And I'm literally, I've still got my CPAP mask on, so I sound like, you know, middle-aged, just getting out of his bath before he's got the helmet on, Darth Vader. And I'm like, I can't talk right now. And he keeps asking, so, well, that's great. I mean, I can call you back, but before I do that, I got to get can I just get a couple pieces of information from you? I'm like, what part of I can't talk right now don't you understand? Like, I don't say this, but I'm thinking this. And I just kept trying to be polite and get off the phone. And I was like, finally, it's like, I got to go. And so I'm thinking it's okay. Like, whatever. I get 5 to 10 phone calls an hour for the next 6 hours.
Oh my gosh.
And like, part of my problem is everybody's work from home. So, and of course, they always have these, all these different numbers now. And I did actually talk to my actual bank about a home equity line of credit, but I also wanted to kind of shop the rates, yeah, and see what was good and see what's, you know,
serves your, I mean, now, you know, don't ever do that.
Right. But then, so I'm like, what do I, like, I have to answer all these calls because my actual bank might be calling me. I don't know what number they're calling me from. And then also, you know, we're all working from home, so it could be any one of my coworkers or some third party vendor, whatever. So I literally, at the end, I was like, no, not interested to take me off the calling list. And then so I go back into LendingTree and I like change the phone number on my account to like 1-800-888-8888.
Yeah.
So that they would not call me anymore. And then, you know, took me off the do not call list. And
now that poor guy is getting hammered.
What I should have done was put the number for LendingTree as my number. Oh, that would have been a good idea.
That would have been hilarious. So that would be inception level.
Yeah, there would just an endless feedback loop. Anyway, So this all started because I had looked at getting some remodeling done, and so, and part of it is I need new windows, and I discovered this on Sunday as I was pricing new windows on Saturday, and we will get to that, but Sunday I go to lift up my window and the wood starts splitting from one window sash from water and moisture over the years, sticking to another window sash and probably hadn't been opened in years, and the wood starts splitting. My wife's like, no. So I'm like, crap. So fast forward 24 hours earlier when it wasn't raining and it was nice out, I had a salesman come to my house. And this salesman had been there the day before because I had called this company, and this company specializes in cabinets, window remodeling and cabinet refacing, bathrooms and windows. And so I'm like, okay, I can contact this company because I want to do all these different things. I'm not sure what they're going to cost. I'm not sure what any of this is, but I have heard the cabinet refacing is a lot cheaper than getting new cabinets. So maybe I'll talk to them about that. Well, the guy comes Friday and talks to me about my windows. Well, he decides that since somebody else was going to come talk to me about my bathrooms and cabinets the next day, he's going to come back on Saturday. So he comes back on Saturday and we start talking, and I go through everything, and then, you know, we do the whole thing, and then I finally, like, get the price, and he goes, well, you know, because if you buy today, you know, something about my ability to sell allows us to offer a discount today.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
you know,
right.
The buy today price, and so it was 25% cheaper, but he literally wanted to charge me almost $2,000 a window. And then it was $1,500 a window was the discounted price. And I'm sitting there like, I got a window quote, you know, 3 years earlier and went through the same thing, but it was actually a fair quote. This quote was twice what that was. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, he's like, so what do I got to do to earn your business today?
Not gouge me?
Well, and then it's like, and we have no interest financing. That's better than getting a home equity line. I'm like, yeah, not if you're charging. I would much rather pay interest than.
Yeah.
Yeah. 0% interest on a ripoff is still a ripoff.
Right.
So, and then I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to buy today. I shop everything. This is just the start of the journey. You know, if you want my business, you're going to wait for me to, you know, look at it. And already I'm thinking there's no way I'm calling this guy back. Well, right. Then his entire attitude changes and he's just,
oh yeah, he gets me on
he's
the ass
super
all
pissed
stuff.
About the whole thing. And I'm like, he's like, he says something about the fact like, well, it's only my dang livelihood.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I'm like, what? Like, well, don't offer me the the gouge price and yeah. also upsell me on all this cabinet stuff that I want. And yeah. that price was crazy. And, oh, I don't think your company actually refaces cabinets. I think they just say they do so they can get in your house and sell you new cabinets.
Yeah.
So it was a whole thing. So I was super pissed about the whole thing. And that was like between Friday and Saturday, 3 hours out of my life. So
I did
all this research last night and I got to recommend this website. This is my pitch. I think it's called The Window Dog.
The Window Dog. All right.
And it's how to buy windows. Yeah, the source for behind-the-scenes information on the best replacement windows. So it's thewindowdog.com, and the guy sells windows, but he only does it regionally, and he recommends all these other places around the country. So I'm definitely going to check out the place he recommended. And he was telling, you know, everybody, his whole thing is, if they're giving you that price today, that price will still be good in 3 weeks. There is no such thing as a price that's only good today.
Right. You
know, that's just a gimmick to get you to buy today. You know, and there's no such thing as a neighborhood discount. There's no such thing as if you order all these windows at once, it's cheaper for us to make them, because literally these factories are producing tens of thousands of windows a day. It was just really good. So check out thewindowdog.com if you're in the business for new windows. And
the Window Dog.
And, you know, and I realize these
are... Stay safe out there.
First world problems. So anything to pitch, Tom?
Oh boy, I have so much to pitch. Over the last month, I've been thinking I need to pitch that. Okay, I do want to pitch some video games. The company is called Freebird Games.
Okay,
They've made a couple. One is called To the Moon. One is called A Bird Story.
Yeah, I've heard of To the Moon.
Yep, one's called Finding Paradise.
I think they're making a cartoon or something, or a movie out of To the Moon.
They may be. I think you're right, actually. So they're outstanding, very, very moving. They're video games, but they're more almost like art forms.
Okay.
I highly recommend it. And
yeah, I have this funny thing. My daughter, my oldest, my 16-year-old, does not play video games. What she does is watch YouTube summations of video games.
Wow.
So she's been doing this one that she's obsessed with called Detroit Become Human.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you played that one, but
it cracks me
up. Like, she won't play the video game, but she loves the video game. Like, she would rather just read this, a synopsis of the story.
Huh. Anyway, interesting.
So what's video game company?
I like Mass Effect. Another company?
I thought you had more to pitch. I thought it was...
Well, not necessarily a video game company.
Oh, okay, got it.
Let's see. What else? Well, The IT Crowd is on Netflix right now, so everyone should definitely check that out. Let's see. What else do I want to pitch?
I've been watching almost no TV.
I haven't been watching much. Well, I forgot to tell you about my hobby, my COVID hobby.
Oh, there you go. Okay, here we go.
So I've been restoring, like, old tools, and I recently finished up an old bench vise that was made in Cleveland, and it says so on it. It was just a rusty, you know, thing, and now it looks really good, and I'm pretty proud of it.
I polished it up?
Yeah, I polished it, painted it.
Nice.
You know, my daughter and I have been watching this YouTube channel called Odd Tinkering, which is really fun. And this guy just like refurbishes old stuff. So,
that's cool.
I've definitely been getting into that.
Awesome.
So those would be my two for now.
Yeah. Well, we don't have sports to watch. It's funny because I feel like I don't watch any TV, but every TV we do watch is either a cooking show or a home improvement show. Like, we watch so much Love It or Listed or Guys Grocery Games, all that stuff. It's like,
so we watch, my wife and I watch, she watches Great British Baking Show.
I don't do the baking shows as much, but that one is good.
Together we watch The Office or The Middle. Have you ever seen The Middle?
I have.
It's really good. And then we you know, we'll also watch. Actually, that's it. Actually, The Office, so The Middle, is, and The Great British Baking Show.
Yeah, we watched. We've watched The Office so much that I'm just like literally my daughter.
Dude, are you excited for Space Force?
The show or the Force?
No, the show coming out with Steve Carell.
Oh no, I haven't seen a preview for it. I've heard of it, but I haven't seen a preview. Did you get to watch the Some Good News with all the folks from The Office doing the wedding dance?
I have not seen that.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, my daughter, my 10-year-old, who's an enormous Office fan and listens to all the Office Ladies podcasts.
Yeah.
And all the has literally will watch this every episode back to back and then start over at the again. Like, it'll take her 3 weeks, then she'll start over at the beginning again. So
I was trying to think about this. Is Greg Daniels so successful because he creates shows that like the average person enjoys? Is it that simple? Like, is
that who created The Office?
Yeah.
What else did he create?
King of the Hill.
That's a great show.
Parks and Rec.
I could never get into Parks and Rec.
Oh, Parks and Rec's great.
I've heard that's because the first season is slow, but we've tried to watch other stuff. So,
but that's a great show and a great cast.
Our show that we've been binging is Community, which is hilarious.
Oh yeah, Community's great. And Community is on Netflix right now. Yeah, Community is awesome.
Are those the three, or is there more?
I'm sure there's more. Those are the ones that come to mind for me. I don't know if did.
The other one I've been binging is The Good Place. Is really good. I think you'd really like it. I think it will annoy you a bit at the beginning, but actually, if you stick with it, especially into the second season, it gets really good.
I love how you know me so much. You're like, yeah, it's going to annoy you. I know you, but stick with it. Like, trust me.
So your devout Catholic faith will be annoyed at the beginning of it, because it is a little, it's all about the afterlife. So it takes a little bit of a suspension of disbelief and a little bit, okay, I'm going to take this as a hypothetical. So, sure. But it's, I actually think it's really good and it's really well done. And the characters have really good, growth, and it's got an element of sci-fi and an element of fantasy and moral, what is it? Moral philosophy. It's really good. I enjoy it a lot. I'm about 2/3 of the way through it. I'm just getting to the third season. So
over the weekend, I watched a couple episodes of Jerry Seinfeld's Comedians Getting Coffee or whatever.
Oh, Comedians Getting Coffee. I thought you watched his new stand-up special, and he was getting dragged for his joke about smartphones, like, why don't we make smarter people or something like that? And it was like a joke that he stole from a freaking Bazooka Joe.
Oh yeah.
And so people were dragging him on Twitter for that. So anyway, I've heard that's a good show. I haven't seen it, but
yeah, it's okay. I watched the one with Chris Rock. It was pretty funny. Actually, Chris Rock is very much anti-participation trophy, which I appreciated that. He was talking about how, like, his daughter, he basically was like, yeah, my daughter plays basketball. She's not very good. And then he was talking about how it bothers him how so many people today are obsessed with fairness. And that he started it by saying, I got asked to be a part of some, like, anti-bullying thing. And I was like, hell no. I was like, the world needs more bullying. It's like, who's going to come up with a cure for AIDS? Some kid that was bullied.
God. Yeah.
That was pretty funny. So then he was talking about how, like,
I can't get my kid out in the driveway to practice basketball.
He's like, if his daughter doesn't get in a game, his wife's all upset about playing time. And he's like, you know, there is a way to get into the game.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he was kind of, and he was saying, like, when he started, he was like doing stand up and he wasn't even getting paid. And then he was waiting tables, and he said, you know, but I worked at it, and it's, you just got to work really hard. So,
yeah. Wait, yeah, I'm going through that now with the 10-year-old. Sorry, I kept interrupting you.
That's okay.
I can't get her to go practice basketball. So, but she'll sit and play video games for 4 hours. So it's like, it's so nice out. Go outside. So Anyway, well, any parting shots, Tom?
No, I'm going to go back to listening to Philip Glass.
Yeah, that was my day, too. So yeah, now I got to get up early and do a reference architecture.
Well, I'll let you get good luck with that.
So we don't know when we'll be back. I do feel like we need to start putting out more content, maybe some draft stuff. I know people have been talking about writing, but I haven't had any motivation to write. So my plan on last weekend was to write about not writing, and that didn't happen. So,
man, that's almost as good as, what was the other Inception thing you were bringing up earlier?
For changing my number to the number for Lenny.
Yes. Man.
Yeah. So, yeah, I wish I'd have done that. Anyway, so hopefully more content coming, and we thank you for your patience and your readership, and stay safe out there, everybody, and, hopefully the worst is behind us. And as always, go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blogs podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite bloggers. There's a fire.